I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A, and we're always happy to welcome to our studios James Moores and Court McCumber, otherwise known as Moores and McCumber. Hi, guys.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm always happy to have you guys here.
We're always happy to be here.
We are.
And it's
in from the rain right now. I like it.
Is it raining out there?
Yeah,
a little bit.
And I'm here in the basement, so I don't have to see that. So you guys have a new CD out. It's called Pandemonium. Pandemonium. Yep. And it was produced by Gary Loris, and we'll be talking about that a little bit. Well, I think you're going to play my request to start out with.
Yeah.
Which start with that. I asked for this one off the album. It's called Everything, right?
Yes.
Here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Look nice and prim. Now and then you catch a glimpse. So try and try and try. There's nothing more than this. You're gonna miss everything. Everything is captivated. There's no time for deliberate. If you listen, the facts speak for themselves. Make believe is common sense. So drag your stick along. Ocean's blue inside of you. Dream and dream and dream and dream. Dream and dream and dream and dream. Dream and dream and dream of ocean's blue inside of you, in spite of you.
Moores and McCumber, live from Studio A, and that's one from their new album, Pandemonium. And first, I want to know about the name of the album. There's a track on there called Pandemonium, and, you know, when I think of pandemonium, I think craziness, whatever, and the track is actually kind of mellow, and it's got some interesting elements to it. So tell me how that became the title track and how the whole concept of pandemonium became the name of this album.
Well, I think our lives are complete pandemonium as, you know, independent singer-songwriters traveling around and doing this. It's, you know, with families, we each have families, and it's just, it's a interesting job, you know. It creates a lot of tension and excitement and...
Well, it kind of summed it up perfectly. I was driving to the airport on Wednesday. My wife was taking me out to Denver. It's about an hour and a half from where I live up in the mountains of Colorado. And I said, what's wrong? She's like, our life is just a circus. I said, yeah, but isn't it fun? She's like, most of the time. So that kind of, to me, was pandemonium.
Some of the time.
I'm making it sound better now. But, you know, the neat thing about that song on the record, it's the last song on the record, and to me it kind of completes the 12 songs, We're talking about a lot of stuff that subject matter. Sometimes it's heavy. That last song is feels light, but if you dig into it, it kind of is addressing certain things that are happening now and what's happening in our lives. And we're kind of doing it in an Everly Brothers sort of way. And you get to the end of the record, and it's this really mellow, spacey Hammond organ. It sounds like it was recorded in a big church. There's a bunch of voices. And then towards the end of the song, and I don't want to give away the song, but James and I have these talking parts where it's like voices in our head, and there's even lines in the song that are that way. So it's kind of like this, you can go through life with everything looking fine on the surface, but underneath everything, it's total chaos. And so that song kind of represents that to me, and that's how I feel about this record, is like we're just trying to, in the songwriting on this record, address some of the stuff that's just crazy in life, but also kind of present it in a way that this is fine. Everything is okay. As long as you kind of work through it and work hard and stay somewhat even keeled. I mean, I remember as a kid having this picture in my bathroom that said, you know, paddle like, it was like stay calm. So it's a duck in a pond and it says, you know, stay calm on the surface, but paddle like the devil underneath. And I just thought that was really cool. And I kind of, you know, don't always stay calm on the surface, but I think I'm always paddling like the devil underneath. But, and so that song and this record is that way for me, I think for both of us. It's just staying, sticking with it and traveling a bunch and working hard and creating some kind of, you know, peace through the music as it's all going crazy.
Yeah, really just trying to create something peaceful and beautiful in such a crazy time.
And I think that really does come across in the album. There's a lot of, you know, in some of the lyrics and things, a lot of struggle, but but we're going to persevere, you know.
Yeah, not, like the chorus of the very first track, the first track is called Crack a Smile, and I think it says it well. It's, you know, all that I can do is crack a smile because I'm happy in life and I'm happy to be here, but I look around me and look at the news headlines and things like that, and it's devastating, always. Mm-hmm. And I guess it just kind of depends on what you take your time doing and what you spend your time looking at. And
you guys are taking the path of independent musicians, and there's a lot of freedom in that, but then there's some downsides to that too, you know, and sometimes you must go, God, I wish I just had a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, we both go through that for sure. But we've also had that discussion, like, what would you do? who would hire me at this point?
We've been doing this a long time. Separately, we dug in for about 15 years doing solo careers, different bands, and then now the last 3-4 years really focusing on the duo as the main thing. And we do talk about, this is what we feel like we're good at, should be doing. And yeah, every once in a while I'm like, man, is there something else I could do where I'm home more? And then the first note we play and sing together, it's like, there's nothing else I could do, want to do.
Yeah.
Could do to, I feel like, contribute at all either.
Well, and this time around, you got to work with somebody that I know you're a big fan of, James.
Yeah.
Gary Loris of the Jayhawks. Now, not being from Minnesota, Court, you're from Colorado. Were the Jayhawks significant to you at all?
They were not at all until I met a friend out there. I met this guy that has a studio up in Nederland that James and I actually recorded our first CD with, named Todd Edelman. I met him in Lyons, Colorado, the same place I met James 5 years earlier. We became buddies. We've written some songs together. But he's like, you got to listen to this. And what's funny is that he's from, you know, just outside New York City. So his connection with the Jayhawks wouldn't seem like it made sense. But he loved alt country. And he loved, you know, the stuff that was happening when the Jayhawks were happening, just before them, Uncle Tupelo, Sunvolt. And he said, you got to listen to Jayhawks. So I started a little bit, but still didn't really dig in until I met James. I started listening to his songs, and he said, hey, you know, a big influence on me has been Gary Loris. I said, yeah, a buddy of mine gave me the record. I got to go dig back into that. And so I did, and I was like, okay, I see where James is coming from now. This is some great songwriting. I love Gary's voice. And so when we had the opportunity to work with him, James said, I'm going to call him up, because we got to meet him in November in Dallas at a fundraising concert that a friend of my wife and I's put on, and she knew Gary. We got to meet him. We were just going to do our record in Vermont again with our buddy Jim Gilmore. But we met Gary, got his number, and James like, I'm going to call him and see if he wants to produce this record. I said, if you can get him to produce this, we're for sure doing, because I just knew how huge of an influence it was on James. And it was one that we had to. And I'm so happy that we did. I want to work more with him just because it was a great experience. And I feel like we've made our best record to date because of
absolutely
a lot of different things, but Gary was really involved, and that was really neat to see, if somebody of his stature dig in with a couple guys that he's never really met and didn't know that well, but took to it, loved the songs as well, and it really helped us, I think, get the best out of us. And that's what was exciting for me, is that he knew that he could push us in the studio. And the one thing I did love about his influence too is he's like, hey, Courtney, you know, one of my strengths is harmony singing. I said, that's great. I feel like mine is too. He's like, well, I'm going to push you because I know that you'll be able to take it. So let's get the best out of you. I said, he's like, if you don't like it, don't do it. But here's what I'm hearing on some of these songs. I said, sweet. And so I think with that, it really did, you can hear Gary Loris's influence on all the songs because of that. And also, you know, he played on that Everything song we just played, he played his signature SG, and it's just, you know, I tried to recreate it on the mandolin. It doesn't do it justice, but if you get the CD and take it home and listen and be like, oh, wow, there's Gary's voice. He sang on two songs and played guitar on a couple, so it's really neat. It ended up being a huge moment for me as well, and that's what I think James and I loved about that, is because it was a big deal for him, and at the end of the thing, it's a big deal for me, for sure.
I'm just curious, are there any specifics that you can share about what tips he gave you about the harmony singing?
You know, I've been singing harmony. I grew up playing cello, so it's a harmony instrument. I always hear harmony, so I feel like I can sing a lot of different parts. But he would just have an alternate version. Like, hey, try this note. This will work. Try this. I'm like, wow, I never thought of that. It was just really neat. I haven't been around somebody like that could tell me, you know, try this different harmony note. Usually, it's been a lot of times where I'm showing James, like, hey, can you sing this? Mm-hmm. For me to have that, like, harmony mentor was awesome. So it was just alternate versions of a harmony.
We were talking about it a little bit yesterday, and I thought Courts had a good point. And he said that, you know, listening to all of Gary's stuff, it's like he's so wrong in all the right ways. I mean, it's just he makes what I think makes his sound unique, and the Jayhawk sound unique for that matter, is that the choices they make are just not the run-of-the-mill choices, and so it sounds different to the ear, but you crave it after you hear it, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how it worked for me, is I didn't know what that dissonance in the voices was about, or if that choice was made consciously or not, but I loved it and I wanted more of it from the first time I heard it. So
and I think the neat thing about James and I is when he really said, hey, this is a Jayhawks were a huge influence, I mean, I started listening to Gary and Mark sing together and I was like, that is so crazy. I would never make those decisions. Mm-hmm. And I think James and I sing a lot different than those guys do. But at the same time, kind of what's ended up being our signature sound as singing together is we will jump around from melody to harmony in certain songs. So if I'm singing melody in the verse, because of my strength as a harmony singer and James has just a slightly lower register than I do, he'll come in at the chorus and sing the melody really strong, and then I'll jump up to the harmony. So because we're not, you know, okay, well, you sing the lead, you have to sing it the whole song. We don't do that. We realize what our strengths and weaknesses are and then try to push that to the max. So that's ended up being kind of, I feel like, developing into our sound, which the Jayhawks developed their own deal because of the singing as too.
And it was nice, too. I mean, Gary, you know, specifically, he has in his living room, his music collection is kind of like KUMD's here, where it just lines the walls, and his, you know, historical knowledge is such that he was able to just provide so many different examples of things that he was hearing and stuff for us to listen to and to think about, and he brought all that to the table too, which was nice.
Yeah, we did a couple of days of pre-production, and I think part James and I thought maybe, oh, we're going to get Gary Loris to produce it, you know, will he be completely present or phoning in? And he was completely present, and just he was like, we ended up getting to know each other, all of us, really well, and so that was really fun, because then that made the music better. Because when we were doing pre-production about a month before we went in the studio, he'd go through and he's like, have you guys ever heard this English folk duo? No. Mm-hmm.
Any particular examples you can give me? Like, I'm picturing him like running over to the wall and say, oh, what about this one? But I'm probably picturing it wrong.
Dillard
and I'm going to forget the other guy's name.
I mean, he was, you know, a lot of stuff was like, here, listen to the birds, go listen to... Mm-hmm. What these guys are doing in California back in the, you know, that start of country rock and a lot of those harmonies.
Yeah, I don't want to out Gary, but he named a bunch of his songwriting influences too. And so I instantly just went home and like started digging into that stuff. And I was just blown away at how much stuff I heard where I was like, you could see the direct, the line, you know, where the songwriting came from.
And that's what I loved about listening to James songs before we got together was then go listen to Jayhawks. I'm like, cool. there's the influence, but it continues that way, and I love seeing that. And I think that's the best way to up the skill set, especially now that we get to know him. It's like getting out of the studio with somebody like Gary, I feel like it made us better musicians and songwriters, just being around somebody that's had a lot of success, but not just that. It's like he's a great songwriter. And what he does is, you know, at a very, very high level. So we both love being around those people.
And where did you actually record the album?
We recorded this the same place I did my last solo record, Skyline, with Ed Ackerson down at Flower Studio in Minneapolis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you guys want to do next?
Do another song from the record. This one's called You Take Me Somewhere.
And we're going to let Quartz get the guitar ready here. You ready?
James is over on mandolin now. This is the first tune that James wrote on mandolin and we finished together. My student's doing well.
I'm going nowhere with the push and the pull. You take me somewhere when there's nowhere to go. I've been watching the stars disappear into the sunrise. Life is changing right before my eyes. Feeling like a road dog breaking in high. Leave me by the nose, I don't need to know it or why. I'm going nowhere with the push and the pull. You take me somewhere when there's no. Following the sounds, my feet are dancing, but I'm rooted in the ground. Feeling like a road dog breaking it high. Leave me by the nose, I don't need to know it or why. Feeling like a road dog breaking it high. Leave me by the nose, I don't need to know it or why. With the push and pull, you take me somewhere when there's nowhere to go.
That is Moores and McCumber live from Studio A. Another one from their new album, Pandemonium, and yes. Produced by Gary Louris. Now, you guys were... Oh, and by the way, this album was done through a quick Kickstarter. You want to tell me? Now, have you've done that before, though, haven't you?
Yeah, this is actually the third record that we've done that's been crowdfunded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how did it compare to the other times? Say.
Well, you know, it's always nerve-wracking because you're asking your audience, your fans, to be your basically your source for your record label and the things that you want to choose to do with the record. So it's, you know, each year... I think we are gaining more fans and followers, but it's always nerve-wracking to ask, you know, will you help? But each time it's worked out, it seems to be like the last few days.
4 days to go is the crunch time.
So, you know, you lose about 5 pounds just worrying and sweating it out, and then it worked out. So it's been great. We love the fact that, you know, we get to the end of that process and now our record is paid for and we're allowed to take the resources that we do have now and publicize it as best we can before the release. And it really changes the course of things. We've talked to a number of labels. We're still interested in a couple of different labels, and we're hoping that they're interested in us. But, the fit has to be right because there's just so much information cruising around. There's so much music out there, and we need to be somebody's special thing. Because we're our special thing, and you know,
and
we
fans
put everything into
have
this.
Shown,
so
they feel that way. Last when we've done 3 records in 3 years, and Kickstarter once a year, asking our fans to pre-buy CDs and T-shirts, and they have ponied up, which is awesome. So that gives us not only have we now pre-sold a bunch of CDs, we've also already promoted mm-hmm. the record because of all the emails and Facebook and all the stuff that we've done online. I think if we didn't do Kickstarter, it would be one of those things where we say we have a new CD, we'd go tour and sell it at gigs. Instead, now I feel like we've got this momentum behind us, and it gives us a ton more confidence to say,
absolutely.
Wow, there's that many people that believe in
go.
What we do,
yeah.
And we already did, but this is awesome. So let's package up some CDs, sign them, and send them out, and then still go play gigs and sell them. So it's just it is very nerve-wracking, though. And I think we did the first one, and after that, I'm like, we're never doing one again. James convinced me to do a second one. We made the money. I'm like, we're not doing one again. Then we did this one. I'm like, all right, it works.
Yeah, it does work.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, and I know your last album, you were kind of hoping for the same thing, maybe a label. Did anything ever work out with that? Or
well, we definitely deepened our relationship with a couple of mm-hmm. Label A&R folks. But those deals just are not... They're not easy to come across, and they're not freely given. And then the deals that are available aren't... It depends how hard you want to work. We work really hard, and so some of those deals didn't really add up, you know. I think the thing that we're kind of looking for now is somebody who can help us let the world know who we are through distribution and publicity. But as far as making the record, you know, we love keeping artistic control and just doing what we want to do on that end. Because we're not always making the choices that other people would make. You know, when this band started out, I played guitar and Court played bouzouki and mandolin. And now we bring about a dozen instruments to every show. And, you know, we're including cello, electric guitars, banjos,
keyboard. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, not all of our moves are the smartest business moves, but they make the most sense for us musically. So that's what we're into.
Well, and it seems like you're doing, you know, making some good choices and getting to work with Gary, I think is definitely helpful. It has been fun to kind of have you guys in here through the years because it, you know, every time I'm like, this is really great. And then the next time it's even better.
Good. I remember the first time we did come in here, it was really, I think we just put out the duo record.
Yeah. The first one.
Yep. And we still weren't really, I mean, we did that record just as an excuse to tour a little bit. Because we enjoyed playing together. Because
yeah.
It all kind of started with James coming out to Colorado, and I would just sit in with him as a side guy. And so we made that record just as an excuse, let's tour under Moores and McCumber. So I think when we came here that first time, it was still kind of that incarnation of, we were doing a lot of James tunes. We had started co-writing a little bit, but I was pretty much just singing harmony with you, and that was it.
And then we got a PlayStation 2 with Tiger Woods Golf, and we kept looking for excuses to go play that
Which
game.
Court has a background in golf, so
yeah,
how does
the RV, so James, like, I'd much rather tour with Court in the RV than my Corolla, so then I think that's what happened. And then it solidified the friendship and the duo. We were writing tunes after gigs at night in the RV, and, you know, that was great. So it turned into something where we couldn't turn our backs on the duo to go continue to pursue our solo careers that They were both doing pretty good. I felt like, you know, I mean, small markets and stuff, but we'd both done a bunch of records solo, and we really believed in that. I think in a big part of breaking down that wall to start doing the duo was we'd been working our butts off for 15 years to promote our individual names.
What's nice
and it's
now
like,
is
really, we're going to do this other, we're going to just kind of not worry about promoting that and do this brand new thing.
But we turned the corner and realized that all that work that we put into comes directly into this duo. Yes. So when we're getting that out of it, you know, mm-hmm. hard work pays off.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I told James this about, you know, a year ago. In the duo, I get to do exactly what I love, which is play a bunch of instruments, sing lead and harmony. And so I don't get to do that in my solo show. I don't get to do that in my band. You know, either when I'm playing a little bit back home, I play electric bass in this band, but that's all I'm playing and singing lead. This is just, I get to do everything that I've worked hard of 15 years and that I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to sing lead the whole night. I don't have to sing harmony the whole night. It's mm-hmm. both. It's really exciting. It's not just one instrument.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And you guys are doing some fun things. I can't remember if we've talked about this before, but you've led some trips to Ireland. And how many times have you done this now?
We've done it a few times. During the day, we do a bunch of sightseeing. And then at night, we go listen to friends playing in the pubs. And we play a little bit as well.
It's not our tour bus over there. That would
it's
be
not
cool.
our tour bus. Yeah. No, it's definitely like a guided tour bus. We have a guide and a driver in Ireland. And it's really a great time. If you go to the mooresandmccumber.com website, you can find out more information about that. But it's a gas. We're very excited about it.
Wonderful. All right, we have time for one more song. And is that Rosinin' Up the Bow that you're doing over there, Court?
Yeah. Could you hear any of that?
I remember that from a country song somewhere.
So we'll play a tune that we wrote in Ireland a couple of years ago. I'm playing the Irish bouzouki and Court's playing fiddle. I'm going to have to tune. Okay, ADHD brain. So now back to what we were doing. So this is a song called Leaving for Cove, and it's from our Gravity record. There's food in the field, I have little doubt. They found a solution for thinning us out. But the workhouse is full, so we're packing it up and leaving for Cove in the morning. We drink to remember, we drink to forget, we drink to put a rest to the ghosts in our heads who remind us of home as we sail to new lands. We're leaving for Cove in the morning. I fell to the hunger the night before last. She gave all she had to care for the rest. But the landlord has said there'll be no room without a rent, so we're leaving for Cove in the morning. We drink to remember, we drink to forget, we drink to put a rest to the ghosts in our heads who remind us of home as we sail to new lands. We're leaving for Cove. In the nights you can hear the carts passing by, delivering loved ones to homes in the sky. As I cry in my pillow, I ask the Lord why we're leaving for Cove in the morning. We drink to remember, we drink to forget, we drink to put a rest to the ghosts in our heads who remind us of home as we sail to new lands. We're leaving for Cove. Drink to forget, we drink to put a rest to the ghosts in our heads who reminds us of home as we sail to new lands. We're leaving for Cove.
Morrison McCumber, live from Studio Egg. And,
it's an Ireland day out there, so it's perfect to end with that song. Little and talk bit. About Ireland.
Little bit. And again, they've got this new album out, Pandemonium, which I personally am a big fan of, and it was produced by Gary Loris. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.